choose to serve God. That's a good song, and all of us need to every day to choose to serve God with our lives. But it's good not only because of the song, it's good because of the singers. Don't you enjoy seeing young ladies like this that sing and serve the Lord? And I appreciate them so very much. Let's pray, and then I want to preach a message entitled Lessons Learned in the Cave. And I want to give you a very pastoral message of encouragement this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for church, and I thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. And we're here today, and we will enjoy many things, but our main focus and purpose is to learn about you through your Word. We get instruction, we get correction. Lord, sometimes we get reproof, and we get all of these things from and through your Word. And I yield myself to you, asking that you would use me as a tool, as a servant in your hand to accomplish it, your will today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. When you begin reading 1 Samuel chapter 22, you find David in a cave. Now, he is there because he is hiding from King Saul. King Saul has become jealous of David, and he's become jealous of him because of the things that he's accomplished as a young man, and how sad it is to see the jealousy of Saul, of young David. He should have been thankful for him. He should have promoted him and encouraged him, but he didn't, and he sought to kill David because he feared he would take his throne. What he later learned, that wasn't Saul's throne nor David's throne, but it was God's throne, and he would put whoever he wanted on that throne. Now, here's how David's life is divided. David dies about the age of 70. He becomes king at about age 30, and he is a king for 40 years. So from age 30 to his death at 70, he is the king. When he's 15, 16, 17, something like that, he is not old enough to be in battle with his brothers who were in the army of Israel, and his dad sent him to check on his brothers to see how they were doing. And if you recall the story, when he got down there, Goliath was cursing the army of Israel and cursing the God of heaven. David takes a slingshot, and he had been taking care of those sheep. He killed a lion, he killed a bear that were trying to get the sheep, and so here's this big Goliath, and he said, "You come to me in the sword, with a sword and a spear. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts," and he killed Goliath. You know the story. Well, David became very popular because of that, and they wrote a song about David, and they said that Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. There's several events that take place in those years when David is between 15 and 20. He actually serves in the palace there with the king or at his house, and then Saul becomes so jealous of him, he attempts to kill him. And about 7 years, David runs from Saul. About 7 years. Folks, that's a long time. That's a long time to be sought. So between that age of something like 20, 21, 2, somewhere in there, for about 7 years of his life, Saul is trying to kill David. There are a lot of stories and events that take place during that time I won't go into, because I want to focus specifically on the time that David was in the caves. He would go from town to town, city to city, but he found refuge in the caves. And what David did not see at the beginning of all of this, he later learned that God not only permitted it, but God ordered the time that David would be hidden in the caves. Are you with me so far this morning? He did not know at the time that God would use this experience in the cave to help David grow stronger in the Lord. Now listen, there are times that we find ourselves in situations like this. It may not be 7 years, it may be 7 days, it may be 7 weeks, but we go through periods of time that, like that cave, represented times of darkness and times of depression and times of difficulty. It seems that we're in those caves of life, and all help and hope and strength is gone, and we get discouraged. discouraged and we find it's difficult to see the hand of God when we're facing times like this. Oh, but listen, the truth is God is not only with us, God orders these times to help and prepare us for His will in our lives. Did you get that this morning? Did you get that? God puts us in those cave times, those times that we're all alone, times that we feel down and in despair and depressed, and God uses those to help us later in life. The psalmist David would later write these words, Psalm 37:23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hands. Paul wrote to the Christians at Rome, and he said, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to those who are the called according to His purpose. Now, I could go up and down every section. We have many folks that are out today because of sickness and different reasons, but I can go up and down every section, and I could tell stories of those that either are or that have been in the caves of life. Sometimes it's a teenager. Sometimes it's just a young person, and I know young people today, they've gone through what I would call a tragedy in their life, and the Bible helps me to help them to say, look, I know this seems to be a tragedy, but God can use this to bring a triumph in your life. He can really use this difficult time to help you. And I know folks of every age, from children to senior citizens, that have gone or all are going through that time like David that he faced in the cave. I want to give you three things about this that we can learn from this morning, because all of us, I said all of us, from the men on the platform all the way back, all of us have times in the caves of life. First of all, I want to point out the reality of the caves. We could go through every person in the Bible and we could point to a time of difficulty and point to a time of darkness in their lives. The reality of sorrow. A sorrow comes to all of us, and David is not in a palace. He is not in a place of comfort. I'm sure David had rather be out there with the sheep in the sheepfold or out in the pasture rather than running from Saul. And you can imagine, I mean, it's not just somebody after him. It's King Saul after him and the army of Israel. They're after David to kill him. And David is fighting all these things in his mind. Now think with me. The greatest battlefield on earth is our mind. Is our mind. The devil tries to discourage us and to depress us. Folks, listen to me. Your attitude is very important. Your attitude and how you see life and the thing that helps you to have a good and a positive and a hopeful attitude is to have faith and hope in Christ and in God's will for our life. But that battlefield takes place. It is a reality. And we can expect to go through this life without going through challenges. I could give you 15, 20 verses that remind us, as Job would say, as sure as man is born of woman, his life is full of troubles. And as the sparks fly upward, man is going to face difficulties. Oh, but listen to me, it is times like this that we learn that we cannot lean on the things of this life for comfort and for help. It's times like this that we're made to realize that we have to trust in God. David was taught through sufferings to wholly lean on the Lord. Get this statement. God is not working here to destroy David. God is not working to discipline David. God is working to develop David in his life. Make note of that today. Maybe you're going through a trial in your life. Maybe you're at a dark place, a difficult place in your life, and you don't know what in the world is going on. And Lord, you say, Lord, why are you doing this? And we have to trust that He can see far beyond what we can see and where we can see today. But just understand and remind yourself, I'm not here because of discipline. I'm not here to be destroyed. I'm here to be developed in my life. Let me ask you this question. How many of you have already been through a tough time in your life and you look back at that and say, you know, that was tough, but it was really good for me. That helped me. Raise your hand. You've been through time like that. So everybody's with me this morning. So we won't be surprised if we go through those again and the same thing will happen again. Though it's difficult, it will not destroy us. It's not for discipline, but it is to develop our lives. Let me give you the second thing quickly, what he learned in the cave. Now I love this, and I don't want to get held up here because I want to give you the third and final part in the application of the message this morning. But what he learned in the cave, first of all, he learned that he did have some friends. And I'll say more about this later in the message in about 45 minutes. He learned in the cave, first of all, he learned that his family did love him. And second of all, he learned that others were like him and David attracted hurting people. Now I want you to notice this, if you will. 1 Samuel chapter 22. And I want you to look at verse number 2. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. Now, at this time, David had already been running from Saul for a while. And so these people, they are in debt, they're discontented, and they're in distress. We use the word stress today. It's the same as the word distress in the Bible. Now, they were like this because of Saul's leadership. Saul had become a hateful leader, and life wasn't enjoyable in the land of Israel. And all these people, we end up learning that there's about 400 of these people that are in distress and that are in debt and that are discontent. That'd be a good name of a church, wouldn't it? The Distressed, In Debt, Discontented Baptist Church. And David was the pastor of that church, and they came to David. But he learned this. Don't miss it. He learned that others are facing what I'm facing. I'm not the only one having a tough time. Young man, listen to me. You're not the only one in the cave. Hey, young couple, listen to me. You're not the only one facing a time of difficulty. And your difficulty could actually help you to become a captain, to become a leader, to become an example of helping others to make it through the difficult times of life. I don't know about you, but I want to be an example of the grace of God. I want to be an example of the strength of God. What others have been through that God helped them to go through, I can do the same. I'll tell you something else he learned in the cave. He learned what he was made of. Boy, this is an important lesson in life. He learned what he was made of. When the people of Israel showed up, according to Psalm 57 that David would write about this time, David was a little bit burdened down by all of these people, but he realized he had a talent. He realized he had a strength because of the cave that he didn't know before, and he attracted these 400 people. They thought that David could help them, and so his character was revealed in the difficult time. Do you know when something is tested, it is put under pressure? When something is put through a testing, it is tested to see how strong it is, how flexible it is. And the truth is, when you and I go through the difficulties of life, we often learn, I'm stronger than I thought I was. I have more faith than I thought I had. Have you ever heard folks say, I just can't make it through this? And you see them 6 months later, and they made it through. You can make it through. And David learned of his character. David rose to the challenge, and the truth of his character was revealed in what he did during those times. Have you ever been asked to do something? You say, I don't think I can do that. These young ladies that sang up here a while ago, boy, they did a good job. They sang like they were experienced and knew what they were doing. The first time they sang, and then they were probably a little bit nervous today. First time they sang, they thought, oh, no, I don't think I can do it. You sing with me, and you sing with me, because I can't do this. And they got up there, and they sang, and they thought, I did it. First time you taught a Sunday school class, you thought, I can't do this. But you taught the class and you said, wow, I did it. You see, God puts us through things to realize God in you, you are stronger than you think you are. And the caves of life reveal those things to us. Instead of breaking under the pressure of the moment, David's heart was revealed. And the leader rose to the challenge, and this is where David learns to lead. You see, up until this time, yes, he's faced one man, and he has killed Goliath. And yes, he's won some victories in his life. He's defeated the bear and the lion in the pasture. Oh, but listen, now comes an even greater challenge. Not only will he do right, he will lead others in doing right. But we need that. We need you to go through some trials so you can not only stand, but you can be an example and you can be a leader to others. You can be an example to others, and that's what David learns in the cave. That's what he learns in this difficult part of his life. Just as it did in the life of David, suffering and pain will reveal exactly what we have in our hearts. If you'd have told Job what he was going to go through, he'd say, oh no, no way, I can't go through that. But day by day by day by day, and Job not only revealed his strength, he became stronger in that time. And the difficulties that you have gone through and the difficulties that you go through, it reveals not only your character, it reveals our ability to be an example to others. What do we do when we face something we don't know what to do? We talk to somebody who's been through it. We talk to someone who has experienced that difficulty. So many examples in life. I've helped folks to prepare for funeral planning and the death of a loved one. And many times I've actually gone to the funeral home to help someone. I've been there. It's not an easy task, but I've been there, and I've experienced the grace of God. And when we think we can't do something, God's grace will help you to do what you think you can't do. I've seen many of God's people come to great trials in their life, and I've watched them become leaders of others. Sadly, I've stood in this very pulpit and had not only caskets, but the most difficult ones are those caskets like this. And a young couple in their 20s, they go through a dark and a deep cave in their life, not understanding and wondering, why, God, did I sin? Did I do wrong? Are you punishing me? Sometimes understand God doesn't want to discipline you. He certainly doesn't want to destroy you. I've seen some of the greatest go through those trials and difficulties, not only learning of what their faith in God can do, but to become an example to others. I've known folks through the years, and even in recent years, face that what we call a tragedy. Now God's called them to ministry, and some going into the mission field. They have a heart, they have a burden for others that face what they have faced. Let me give you the last thing in the message. That's always everybody's favorite part of the sermon. The blessings of the cave. Not only did he learn, there's a blessing. You know, you go to school and you learn. You come to graduation and there's a blessing. You go to class day after day after day, you learn, you learn, you learn, you learn. You finally get down to that last month, those last few days, that last day, and you come to graduation time. Well, David didn't just go to the cave to learn. Thank God David graduated. David didn't just go to boot camp and go to the battlefield. David became the king. He graduated. He learned some great blessings in life. And I want to tell you, the sun will shine again. You'll make it through this difficult time in your life. There's a chorus I've known for many years. It goes like this. The sun will shine again. The sun will shine. As sure as night brings day, joy will be mine. Dark clouds may hover and hide the light of day, but the sun will shine again and bring a bright new day. You may have heard others sing that, not as good as I did, but you may have heard others sing that song. But see, David graduated. he got the blessings of the cave. Let me tell you what the blessings of the cave were. First of all, David had the blessings of his family restored. Now, you may have forgotten this, but do you remember when Jesse came to the house of David and he said, I would like to see your sons. Now, he didn't tell him what it was for, but Jesse knew it was to anoint a king. And Jesse brought all of his sons to see the prophet, but he didn't bring David. You remember that? He didn't bring David because David was just a young boy and he was out there taking care of the sheep. He was sort of left out. I don't know about you, but I think that boy as a teenager thought, why was I left out? Then, of course, Jesse said, do you have any other sons? And then they brought David in. I want you to understand, David, because of the cave, he's gone through times of difficulty. David has become a leader, and isn't it a blessing that his parents came to David in the cave? I don't know of anything more rewarding than for parents to say, I'm proud of you. You made it through. See, that's the blessing of the cave. Not only that, we find that others came and his family came. By the way, you remember what his brother said when he went down there to the battlefield? He went to the battlefield and the Bible said that his brother said, David, I know the naughtiness of your heart. I know why you're here. Why don't you get back and take care of those few sheep? Oh, but the difficulty that David faced, he earned the respect of his parents. He earned the respect of his family. You see, the caves of life have the potential to bring the best in us out. Perhaps you're in the cave today. Perhaps you're saying, I'll be glad when this sermon's over because I'm tired of hearing this. I want to tell you, dear friend, I promise you, if you'll stay faithful to God, if you'll keep your faith and trust in God, you'll not only make it through the cave, you'll not only learn lessons in the cave, you'll graduate from the cave and you'll become a leader. And you'll become an example of God's goodness to others. I've seen many people suffer some mighty difficult experiences. I've seen some crumble under the pressure and leave the will of God. But I've seen so many rise to the occasion. Many tapped into a source of strength they had no idea they possessed. And they were changed by their difficult experiences. And they became an example to others of the goodness of God and the grace of God. And they've said, what we have gone through, you can go through. I've seen businessmen go through some tough times. I read the story this past week of a man who was a multimillionaire. And they asked him the question, what was the greatest experience of your business life? He said, when I went bankrupt. He said, what do you mean when you went bankrupt? He said, you know, I was really working to achieve a certain level of success. And he said, I was working really hard. And he said, then I went bankrupt. I lost everything I had. And I had to learn not to depend just on me, but I had to learn that it was important to lean on and learn from others. And what he called success before the bankruptcy only multiplied the success that he has today. The cave won't kill you. The difficulty won't hurt us, but it will develop us. College students through the years. I saw several of our former college graduates that were here this week at the youth conference, and they brought young people with them. And now, I remember when God was maturing them, and they were having some difficulty, sometimes up and sometimes in failure, but through that, they didn't quit, and now they're helping young people to succeed and to grow and to mature and make right decisions for God. Fathers and mothers and teenagers and young men and young ladies have gone through this, and the blessings of David's life, they came about because of his experience in the cave. These men who gathered themselves around David were there because they were fed up with Saul. They were distressed. They were in debt. They were discontented. They were tired of what's going on. By the way, you'll find that David later led in battle. And David's men were referred to as David's mighty men. I mean, he had the green beret of Israel's army. He had the special forces, and you can read about it later and what they did and how many of the enemy they were able to defeat, just these 400 men. You know where they came from? They were all in debt. They were all distressed. They were all discontented. They came to David at a time of difficulty, and David said, "We can, and we'll trust in God. We'll keep our faith in God." And those 400 men that were in trouble are now David's mighty men, and he led in great victory. David became the great and mighty king from age 30 to age 70 because he went through the cave. He learned who these men were and the leader that he would become of them. I give you the last blessing. The blessing of David's focus in life. You know, one of the big questions that I help young people with all the time is trying to find focus in life. It's not real difficult to find direction. For example, we say, let's choose to serve God. That's a very general term, but it is a term of direction. That means we're not going to follow the standards of the world and the behaviors of the world. We're not going to live without God and live in the immorality and live in all of the sins of the world with the drugs and the alcohol and all that goes with that. We're going to choose to follow God. So the Bible becomes our guide. It gives us our direction. All but the caves of life take us from learning direction to become focused in life. You see, David was, he was yielded to the will of God. But he didn't know exactly what was going to happen. He didn't know he would not only lead this band of mighty men, but that he would become the great king of Israel. And in my opinion, was the greatest king Israel has ever known. And that will hold until Jesus sits on what is referred to, not as the throne of Saul or the throne of Solomon, but he calls it the throne of David that Jesus himself will sit on. And it was the cave of life that helped David to see his focus specific in life. You see, trials, they're not there to hurt us. They're there to help us focus and hone in on specifically what God wants us to do. By the way, if you think about this and with other men, you'll find it the same in their life. Peter was all over the map. Hot and cold. I mean, he was up and down. He was serving Jesus one day and back to fishing the next. Oh, but when David came to that great trial in life, if you recall when he denied the Lord and the old rooster began to crow and Peter went out and he wept bitterly. Oh, listen to me. It was that trial of life that helped Peter to be focused. He preached on the day of Pentecost and God used him until his death to serve him. And the difficulties in life, they'll help you to focus and hone in on the will of God for your life. Now pick up your Bible. I want to close with these verses that David gives us instruction for when we're in the caves of life. Now when you're in the cave of life, you think, this is it, I'm going to die. My life is a mess, my marriage, my home, my business, everything is a mess. What do I do when I'm in the caves? Here's what David wrote that will help us. Go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, please. Psalm 37. And let's look at these verses quickly. Psalm 37. Look at verse number 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Now, who would he specifically be referring to? He'd be referring to Saul. But here he gives it a more generic statement, and it applies to our lives. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. One more, Psalm 142. Quickly, please. Psalm 142. What do we do when we're in the cave? What do we do when we're not seeing any help, or we're not seeing any growth, or we're not seeing anything? David gives us Psalm 37, Psalm 57, Psalm 142. I want you to look at Psalm 142 and beginning in verse number 1. What do I do when I'm in the midst of that darkness of the cave? What do I do when I'm at that time of decision? That time of transfer from one place to another in my life. Here's what he said: I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand, behold, there was no man that would know me. Refuge cared me, failed me. No man cared for my soul. And he comes to the rest of the chapter and saying one person cared, and that was God, the one that had put me in the cave, the one that had put me in the trial. He's the one that helped me through. And dear friend, he's the one that will help you through the trial. Stand with me if you will this morning. Thank you for listening so well. The caves of life. Sometimes we learn, and then after we learn, we come to the place of blessing. Perhaps you're here this morning, you face a difficulty. You say, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. Keep trusting in God. Perhaps you need to come this morning to the altar and say, Lord, I need your help. I pour out my hurt, my pain, my complaint. I need your help. Perhaps you're here this morning, you don't know Christ as your Savior. You ought to trust Christ as your Savior this morning. If there's a spiritual decision that you ought to make, hey, you ought to come this morning. You ought to make that decision. Don't get mad at God in the cave. Don't get mad at God at the trial. Learn what God would have you to learn in the cave. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the examples that we can use and apply to our lives. And I pray for those that are hurting today. I pray for those that are going through difficulty today. I pray that you'd help them to understand this is a time of development. This is a time that can lead to success. And I pray that you'd help them to have faith and trust in you. Bless their invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.